All right, so welcome to section for Computer Science E259, Project 2 continued. So we effectively did our walkthrough last week of all things related to the XHTML aspect of the project, so I'll pull up the PDF for Project 2, but I would suggest perhaps that you guide me as to what you'd like to look at or consider, since I don't think it's worth our skipping ahead to the SVG stuff in the vacuum of not having seen any of it yet. So let me go ahead and pull up the PDF. I would say, just to, as advice, the best situation you could be in come next Wednesday is to have finished all of the non-SVG portions of the project. If you do that, I think you'll find the SVG part to be not only fun, but also very, very manageable. I will also say that if you leave a bit more than just the SVG for next week, it's definitely still manageable, but you won't have as much, I think, luxury and stress-freeness to actually approach the SVG part. And I would say, by this point, you should be finished with my blockbuster. And if you're not, I would focus on that quite quickly, because the X2 part will take more thought than than my blockbuster. Notice how fewer eyes look up at me when I say things like that. That's okay. Questions specifically?
I have a problem with creating links. For example, I know that my F70 actually take this XML and then list the movie by title.
Okay.
But when I try to create a link, it actually creates a link for everything. For example, even for the movies by title also became a link.
Everything became an HTML link.
Yeah.
So I suspect, based on that description alone, you just didn't close a tag somewhere. Either there's a stray quote mark,
okay,
or there's a missing angled bracket or something like that. Because the browser does that if it's just not well-formed.
Okay.
So if what you could do, if you're having trouble seeing it visually, is just copy the output and go to validator.w3.org. Validator.w3.org, which is the W3C's HTML and XHTML validator. You can just paste your output into there, and if it's smart enough, it will tell you what line is creating the problem. Because it sounds like it's not well formed if the whole thing is turning into a hyperlink. Okay. But I think that's honestly a typo. It's not a conceptual problem.
Yep,
or it might just be W3. I'm not sure if the other maps to it, but
is that for XML and XHTML?
It is just, I believe, for the languages that have DTDs, so XHTML and HTML. I don't know if it validates generic XML. But this is when, if you ever go to someone's website and they've got a link at the bottom that says XHTML valid, it just means that it passes these tests. And we'll get to DTDs actually in a couple of weeks. So this is what the site looks like. Validator.w3.org.
So I need to take the source of the XHTML and then pass it here?
What you can do is, I think you can paste into this page. So again, for those listening in at home, I'm on validator.w3.org. You can just paste your XHTML output into this text area on the web page, and it will check it for validity. And again, you should be able to eyeball this probably, but if you just can't see it, this is a useful trick. Alternatively, frankly, if you use Stylus or XML Spy and you click the indent icon, which in Stylus is in the top left of the XML window, I forget where it is on Spy, it will try to pretty print everything, and in that process it will find the error because it won't be able to pretty print if it's not well formed. Stylus has a little indent icon, which tiny square icon top left, and it just looks like an indented tree. That too is useful, just for cleaning up your own code. Other questions or?
That's just a very good question.
Sure.
Question three. Efficient, meaning like processing?
Meaning processing. It's very vague. It just means give us a stupid command and give us one that just shows that you're really, you know, honing in on the right way to do things. And unfortunately, you have to leave it to me to determine which is which when you submit it. So.
It's relative.
It's not. There's no formal definition of inefficient or inefficient here. You didn't find Stylus?
SFTP.
It does not have it?
Yeah, so I won't have
canonical. Oh, interesting.
I'm how to use the oxygen to do it.
But does XMLSpy have a...
Oxygen has.
Interesting. What you might be able to use is an SFTP client in conjunction with Stylus, whereby if you open the files from the SFTP client, it'll save temporary files that the program will automatically synchronize, though it's a bit of a hack. Yeah, I'm surprised. Stylus seems to have everything else these days.
Another basic question. Like,
sure.
The actors, they have only the IDs.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get the list of movies that they have acted based on? Because it's attribute, right?
Sure, it is an attribute. And let me go ahead. We don't have Stylus on this computer here. So what I'll do instead is pull up the XML file itself. myblockbuster.xml. So, and let me pull up a little text, overkill text editor here. Opening Microsoft Word for those playing along at home, just so I can type somewhere. So, recall that we want to select all of, so let's see, as I understand you want to be able to select all of the actors associated with the movie, right?
Bookmates.
Okay.
All the movies, list of movies, based on the actor's ID.
A list of movies based on the actor ID.
Right.
So essentially you're talking about a XSL for each select equals, I'm going to do this the lazy way, just so we can fit it all on the screen, and with curly quotes, all actor elements, and then XSL for each. Okay, so this is going to iterate us over all of the actor elements. Now we want to get at all of the movie elements for this guy.
So, actors element because
there's actor. We're iterating over all the actor elements right now. So effectively, we want to now do this. For each movie that has an actor ref of dot print title. So that in pseudocode is what we want to do, right? So for each movie that has as a child an actor ref equal to dot, we want to print that title. So I don't want to spoil everything here, but what this suggests is that we could do something like, what do we want to do here? Well, there are different ways to approach this. So, sorry? Yeah, so we could use a template of sorts here, right? We could use our templates to sort of do the searching for us. It doesn't all have to be in one big loop or whatnot. So, for instance, what could we do? Well, you can approach it this way. And again, I'll give you sort of ideas here as opposed to solutions. You could, for instance, do XSL call template name equals, we'll call this find movies. And I'm going to pass in XSL with param name equals nodes, and I'm going to select, it's getting a little ugly in office here, select equals, how do I select all of the IDs? Or how do I select, rather, my current ID?
Yeah.
Sorry? So what kind of node am I in this iteration? I'm an actor, so how do I select my ID attribute? Perfect. Yep, at ID. Just that. So now, XSL call template. And you know, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to rename this thing. Instead of just find movies, I'm going to go ahead and say print movies. Right? And really just factor out that functionality altogether. So the hint I'll offer at this point, having set up this sort of approach, is that clearly now you could go ahead and implement a template called print movies that takes a parameter called nodes, or rather, let me change that, sorry, called ID, and then use that parameter, which you'll refer to as $ID, to print all of the titles. Now in spirit, just to set this up, I'm going to get rid of my pseudocode, because I will give you the code for that part. So when we go down here, XSL template name equals actor, and for those following along with this recording, I will try to put the printout of this, what I'm typing, on the website. So XSL template name equals print.
Are you going to put it in the record? That's what he said?
Yeah, I think I should, in fairness, so I'll do that. At least these notes, not necessarily a working solution. So we have this, and then XSL param name equals ID. Okay, so now I have essentially the framework for solving this problem, because what I effectively now have is a template that I have defined as taking an ID, and what I need to now do with this ID is find all movies that have that ID among their actor ref children. So to recap, without typing this part out, what I have now is $ID, and I want to find all movie elements that have an actor ref child equal to that value. And what do I want to do? I want to print out some HTML for those titles. And I think, to be honest, with this framework alone, I've probably taken you, you know, just shy of the finish line with solving that particular problem. The reverse direction, iterating over the movies and finding all of the actors, is a different approach for which you can use syntax similar to, I think, what we did last week in section or lecture, or you can look at the XSL key element, which will let you essentially create a lookup table in advance that would allow you very efficiently to answer what actor is this reference belonging to, referring to. But you can also do it with a very simple XPath query that is an absolute location path so that you can get back up to the actors.
Is it XSL key for finding the list of actors for
a movie? You can use XSL key if you want to come up with a more elegant and fundamentally more efficient solution, but you can also do it with just a single XPath query. You can of XSL value of select. But let me leave it at that, lest I spoil too much of the fun. Good question. And again, let me go ahead and save this, and I'll post this later. Other questions or general areas of interest?
X2.
X2, okay. And now more specific areas of interest in regard to X2?
The stations don't know what line they're on.
Correct. Stations don't know what line they're on.
So the approach that I was taking means that I'm going to select a node set that's going to have duplicates in it. Is there a way to avoid having duplicates in a node set?
Yes, so follow-up question would be, you wouldn't have duplicate nodes, but you might have nodes with equivalent values.
Right, so for instance, I'm working on line number one,
mm-hmm.
and station 15 shows up mm-hmm. in my node set twice, the way that I'm selecting my node set.
Okay. What is a simple... So there are a few ways to solve this. Using syntax we've seen... Let me think for a moment. So, what you can do in this case is leverage XSLT's notion of node equality and node value. Because recall that the value of a node is not, for instance, its address in memory. If you think about it in programmatic terms, the value of a node is the concatenation of all of its textual children. So if the problem in question is that you're having duplicate station IDs, if I heard correctly, well, those station IDs are just textual children, right? The number 15 is technically a text node beneath an element called station ID. So you can construct an XPath query, actually, that simply compares some station ID against another station ID for equality. And it's not true equality in the object vis-a-vis object sense, but it's value equality. And that's what happens with the equal sign. So when you compare nodes with the equal sign, you're checking their values, not whether they're the same exact nodes. If you wanted to check if they were the same exact nodes, you could do that trick tonight where we unioned one node set with another, and if the set didn't grow in size, well then you've unioned in something that's already there. Because just as in mathematics, sets cannot have duplicates. Node sets cannot have duplicates. Node sets can have nodes that have duplicate values. And so that's the distinction to bear in mind. So one approach that's perhaps somewhat elegant is to consider using what you might not think of initially, the preceding axis. So using the preceding or the following axis effectively gives you access, if you deploy it right, to all of the identically named elements after you in the document or the node set or before you. So you can use that effectively to check, have I seen a node with this value before? And consider, for instance, and perhaps look up in the spec or one of the online references, what it means to compare the value of a node against the value of a node set. So to actually do foo equals, for instance, preceding colon colon star, and just consider what that means. And again, trying to offer some guidance without too much explicitness. But I think the interesting takeaway that you've highlighted effectively is this notion of value and it being distinct from a quality of nodes themselves. But those two axes might be your friends in this case. But an excellent part of the problem to highlight. And just to toss it out there, because you mentioned it for the group, so there is no specification explicitly for any of these stations as to what line they're on, but you can infer as much from, I think an email went out on the listserv about this too, from their neighbors. Right? And so that too should be, just tuck that in the back of your head when you come to the last part of the project, which is the how would you implement this file differently or better, considering issues like that. Which, while space efficient, might cost you, the developer, more time in the beginning. Other questions or general concerns? And I will offer, how about serious brownie points to someone who really makes use of the Easter eggs in this directory. I think for a year or so have we gone without any use of WAV files, which is tragic. Not many GIFs been used, but we have had some neat interactive presentations. So, and that's honestly, if you like this sort of thing and you really are a geek who has some time to spend on this, like you can really start to do some neat things with relatively large data sets and the power of transformations that allow you to generate hundreds or dozens of lines of code with just three of your own and that sort of thing. It's pretty powerful. Are there other questions? No? Well, I will say, if you haven't gotten into them yet, using some of these GUIs, whether it's Stylus, XML Spy, Oxygen, whatever, really can be a time saver. And if you're typing XSLT, honestly, just in the equivalent of Notepad or in VI or Emacs, you're probably not benefiting as much, both sort of instructionally, but also in terms of efficiency, if you do pick up one of these tools. It doesn't matter which you use, but they can be time savers. Cool. All right, why don't I go ahead and hit stop, and I'll stick around for individual questions, if any.